Such were the uneasy swayings of the peace of the Congress of Vienna, which were provoked by the reactionary proceedings to which sooner or later all monarchist courts seem by their very nature to gravitate. The stresses that arose from the unscientific map-making of the diplomatists gathered force more deliberately, but they were even more dangerous to the peace of mankind. It's extraordinarily inconvenient to administer together the affairs of peoples speaking different languages, and so reading different literatures and having different general ideas, especially if those differences are exacerbated by religious disputes. Only some strong mutual interest, such as the common defensive needs of the Swiss mountaineers, can justify a close linking of peoples of dissimilar languages and faiths. And even in Switzerland, there's the utmost local autonomy. Ultimately, when the great power tradition is certainly dead and buried, those Swiss populations may gravitate towards their natural affinities in Germany, France, and Italy. When, as in Macedonia, populations are mixed in a patchwork of villages and districts, the cantonal system is imperatively needed. But if the reader will look at the map of Europe as the Congress of Vienna drew it, he'll see that this gathering seems almost as if it had planned the maximum of local exasperation. It destroyed the Dutch Republic quite needlessly. It lumped together the Protestant Dutch and the French-speaking Catholics of the old Spanish Austrian Netherlands, and set up a Kingdom of the Netherlands. It handed over not merely the old Republic of Venice, but all of North Italy, as far as Milan, to the German-speaking Austrians. French-speaking Savoy it combined with pieces of Italy to restore the Kingdom of Sardinia. Austria and Hungary, already a sufficiently explosive mixture of discordant nationalities, Germans, Hungarians, Czechoslovaks, Yugoslavs, Romanians, and now Italians, was made still more impossible by confirming Austria's Polish acquisitions of 1772 and 1795. The Polish people, being Catholic and Republican-spirited, were chiefly given over to the less civilized rule of the Greek Orthodox Tsar, but important districts went to Protestant Prussia. The Tsar was also confirmed in his acquisition of the entirely alien Finns. The very dissimilar Norwegian and Swedish peoples were bound together under one king. Germany, the reader will see, was left in a particularly dangerous state of muddle. Prussia and Austria were both partly in and partly out of a German confederation, which included a multitude of minor states. The King of Denmark came into the German Confederation by virtue of certain German-speaking possessions in Holstein. Luxembourg was included in the German Confederation, though its ruler was also King of the Netherlands, and though many of its peoples talked French. Here was a crazy tangle, an outrage on the common sense of mankind, a preposterous disregard of the fact that the people who talk German and base their ideas on German literature, the people who talk Italian and base their ideas on Italian literature, and the people who talk Polish and base their ideas on Polish literature will all be far better off and most helpful and least obnoxious to the rest of mankind if they conduct their own affairs in their own idiom within the ring fence of their own speech. Is it any wonder that one of the most popular songs in Germany during this period declared that wherever the German tongue was spoken, there was the German fatherland? Even today, men are still reluctant to recognize that areas of government are not matters for the bargaining and interplay of czars and kings and foreign offices. There is a natural and necessary political map of the world which transcends these things. There is a best way possible of dividing any part of the world into administrative areas, and a best possible kind of government for every area having regard to the speech and race of its inhabitants, and it's the common concern of all men of intelligence to secure those divisions and establish those forms of government quite irrespective of diplomacies and flags, claims and melodramatic loyalties and the existing political map of the world. The natural political map of the world insists upon itself. It heaves and frets beneath the artificial political map like some misfitted giant. In 1830, French-speaking Belgium, stirred up by the current revolution in France, revolted against its Dutch association in the Kingdom of the Netherlands. The powers, terrified at the possibility of a republic and of annexation to France, hurried in to pacify the situation and gave the Belgians a monarch from that rich breeding ground of monarchs, Germany, Leopold I of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. There were also ineffectual revolts in Italy and Germany in 1830, and a much more serious one in Russian Poland. A republican government held out in Warsaw for a year against Nicholas I, who succeeded Alexander in 1825, and was then stamped out of existence with great violence and cruelty. The Polish language was banned, and the Greek Orthodox Church was substituted for the Roman Catholic as the state religion. An outbreak of the natural political map of the world, which occurred in 1821, ultimately secured the support of England, France, and Russia. This was the insurrection of the Greeks against the Turks. For 6 years they fought a desperate war while the governments of Europe looked on. Liberal opinion protested against this inactivity. Volunteers from every European country joined the insurgents, and at last Britain, France, and Russia took joint action. The Turkish fleet was destroyed by the French and English at the Battle of Navarino in 1827, and the Tsar invaded Turkey. By the Treaty of Adrianople in 1829, Greece was declared free, but she wasn't permitted to resume her ancient republican traditions. There's a sort of historical indecency in a Greek monarchy, but a Greek republic would have been dangerous to all monarchy in a Europe that fretted under the ideas of the Holy Alliance. A German king was found for Greece, one Prince Otto of Bavaria. Slightly demented, but quite royal, he gave way to delusions about his divine right and was ejected in 1862. And Christian governors were set up in the Danubian provinces, which are now Romania and Serbia, a part of the Yugoslav region. This was a partial concession to the natural political map, but much blood had still to run before the Turk was altogether expelled from these lands. A little later, the natural political map was to assert itself in Italy and Germany.